Welcome to the Crossroads Podcast. From wherever you're tuning in, we hope that you're encouraged by today's message. Now let's dive into God's Word.
Well, God is good. Do you believe that? All the time? Come on, let's give him a good praise, everybody. Come on, everybody. Church online, get off the couch, stand up, give Jesus a praise. Come on. In that kitchen, do a little jig, whatever. Yeah, if you're guests for the first time, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Holly and I have some of our good friends from the Houston area. They pastor a rocking phenomenal church and stayed with us last night. We stayed up way too long talking, so I blame them if I get mixed up today. But no, seriously, their names are Ryan and Lexi, kind of like Ryan and Lexi. And so we're so glad they're here with us this weekend. If you're new to our area, if you're new to Crossroads, again, it's your first time, look no further. You found your tribe. Come on, right? You found your people. You found your village. And we want you to be a part of it. Let me be your pastor. Let me walk with you and pastor you and lead you and be a part of what God is doing here. God's been doing he's been doing so many crazy things. Check this out. Come on. 1,021 people. Come on. 1,021 people have said, come on, everybody, yes to follow Jesus. That's incredible. It's incredible. Thank you, Jesus. And today, if you're here, and number one, you've never made a public declaration, and you've never said, Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm a jerk, I need help. You don't know what to say, but you know that you need to make things right with God. At the end of our service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to join that number. First service, we already had many hands go up. Or if you're here today, maybe you haven't been to church in a long time. And I'm glad you decided to give it another try. Thanks for stepping out one more time. Thanks for laying your heart out on the line one more time. I'm glad you're here. Maybe you strayed from the faith, as James 5 says. That's my story. If you come, you hear me say it all the time. You know my saying. I was far from the cross, but the cross was never far from me. And if you're here, I'm going to give you an opportunity as well to raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to come back to the faith. So we say the Lord's Prayer out loud together. I would encourage us to set down our digital devices. Please, no one moving around. This is a holy moment. Church online, we want you obviously to participate. Pastor David's with you. Let him know what city, state, zip code, country you're watching from, and just be a part of the service. All right. Let's not let this prayer become a common thing, right? Let's keep it holy just because it's part of our rhythm every Sunday, like worship and all that. Let's make it mean something. Does that make sense? So if you haven't memorized, maybe close your eyes, or maybe as you're looking at it, say it with me out loud. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We are in the book of Daniel today, the book of Daniel. We are wrapping up the series of conversations we've had this month about the Old Testament God and how the Old Testament God is the same as the New Testament God, and that God is the same God on October 26, 2025, okay? I did get that right? Yeah, okay. I'm making sure. And so we've been exploring Old Testament scriptures and stories and how Jesus ties into them. And today we're in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is an interesting book. If you've never read it, I want to encourage you to go read it, or at least on the Bible app, listen for yourself. Listen to it while you're driving, you know, your spouse is talking, just turn it on really loud, whatever it is. But listen to it, read it. The book of Daniel is a larger than life. It's a very dramatic book. So we're only going to be in chapter one, not because it's the most important chapter in the book of Daniel. It's just all we have time for. And I got in trouble with the first service. So, by the way, If it was hard to find a parking spot, there was a long-winded preacher in the first service. We're not having him back, okay? It was because he preached too long. So we kicked him out. They brought me in. And so I'm going to get you out on time. So because it rained, and I know a bunch of you parked in that field, and we don't want to have you stuck there all day. I don't know how to finish that sentence. So we got a bunch of rednecks with 4x4s. So we can get you out, right? No doubt. Oh, that's right, Pastor. Yeah. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Say amen when you're there. All right, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. There we go. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, real quick, you were wondering, like, who is King Jehoiakim? And I'm glad you're wondering. I'm glad you asked. He was a bad king. This guy was no good for Israel, for Judah. He did not follow God. He brought in false worship into God's temple. And God is punishing him and his kingdom. His kingdom is being taken from him. And so during his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylon and placed them in the treasure house of his gods. Then the king ordered this guy, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong and healthy and good-looking young men. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language of literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years. Really groomed. That's what was happening. And when they would enter the royal service, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. That was an easy one. He got the easy name transfer. Azariah was called Abednego. All right. But Daniel was determined what? All right, there's more than three of us. There's like 600 of us in here. But come on. But Daniel was determined what? Not to defile himself. Amen, amen. And the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? Our one truth is this. You can live in Babylon without letting Babylon live in you. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? You can live in Babylon without Babylon living in you. Babylon is a term not just to reference, you know, what we're reading in scripture. If you're with me, say amen. But we use it as a term to like identify any kind of subversive set of government or group of people that try to subvert the gospels, you know, the silencing of the prophets, the emasculation of men, all that stuff we're seeing in our culture. Like, that's kind of like Babylon. Also, if you've hung around church long enough, you know, the Christianese thing kind of says, like, well, she's got the spirit of Jezebel, you know. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you, right? You know, dudes, do not say that to your wife, please. Don't take the bait. Don't do everything I tell you. And those are just kind of Christian words we use in the Christian circles to be like, oh, it feels like we're living in Babylon. Anybody else feel like that? So this story, it's telling us larger than life. I want you to imagine, especially if you have a teenager right now. I've got a 19-year-old. It's going to be 20 soon. Good Lord. I'm so young to be having a kid that age. Can't believe how young I am. You wouldn't believe it either. So, yeah. And imagine your teenager, because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're teenagers when Babylon invades Jerusalem. They besieged it. Besiege is not like this nice knock on the door. Hey, can we come in and have your kids? No, they kicked down the doors. They burned the temple. They destroyed the temple. They desecrated God's temple. They took these young men out of the grasp of their parents' hands and took them to another land and taught them a new language, new way to worship other gods. They taught them how to eat that food from that culture. I mean, and not just that, they literally gave them new names. Everything about their identity that they grew up with, are you picking up what I'm putting down today? All of that stuff was changed when they went to Babylon. I'm saying it feels like in many ways we're living in Babylon, right? Our culture is having an identity crisis right before our eyes. The false worship that we see in our culture today, the elevation of people above God, we see that today in our culture today, and on and on and on. And so it feels like we're living in Babylon. And so they're taken from their homes. If you're with me, say amen. Forced to go into 3 years of really, I think the better word to say is they were grooming them to be like the Babylonians. But here's the thing. Number one, you have to resolve before the test. Okay, you've got to resolve before the test. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these four dudes, and there wasn't just these four, there were more than, right? It says, get all of the kids that are strong and bring them. So they're brought as a teenager. And oh, by the way, if you've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den, raise your hand. Yeah, if you went to Sunday school, if you're old enough, there's a thing called Sunday school. It happened before church. It was church before church, pre-church. It was a get you excited about church. And you learn about, as a kid, Daniel in the lion's den. But in kids' church, Daniel looks, you know, young. He's around 80 years old when he was thrown into a lion's den. I'm pretty sure Daniel's like, this is not the retirement I imagine, right? Like, so, but you, come on. If you walk with Jesus long enough, you're going to be tested. Come on, real Christians, say amen. I came all the way from Salado to talk to you this morning, all right? So you have to resolve, because here's the thing. The test is coming. The test is, your faith is going to be tested. At some point, come on, your faith will be tested. Do you really believe what the Bible says? Is God for you? Is God with you? Can you trust him? All the questions of the soul that come out of a time of testing, you will be tested. You just have to resolve right now to pass that test. And we read about it in verse 8 when Daniel said, I resolve, right? I determine not to defile myself by eating the king's food. So here's the thing. God honors pre-decided obedience. Decide today that I'm going to be obedient to the things of God. Don't wait for the test to show up and be like, I don't know if I'm going to be obedient. Because here's the thing, right? I've lived this. Here's the thing. When you predetermine in life, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be obedient to God. When it shows up, you've already made up your mind. Come on, fam, be with me. I see your coffee cups. I know what you've been drinking. Like, we're going to spike that stuff one day. We're going to go straight up espresso coffee so you guys don't blink, all right? Yeah. Okay, maybe not. That you guys are too excited about that. Maybe we won't do that. But this pre-decided, like, no matter what comes my way in life, I'm going to follow Jesus. If you don't pre-decide, when it shows up, when it knocks on your door, when Babylon invades your home, come on, when Babylon invades your marriage, when Babylon comes knocking on your soul, if you're kind of wishy-washy, like, I don't know, what am I doing? What? You know, like, it's just going to be that much harder. If you're with me today, say amen. Amen. There are, I don't know, let me lead it off this way. Anybody else? You heard me talking about a lot. Any of my Facebook Marketplace peeps in the house? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. We're probably passing each other late at night on Facebook Marketplace, you know, clicking on the same thing. So this week, the Bryans, our Pastor Bryans, we call them the Bryans, and I and Pastor Gary, we were just talking about, hey, let's open our phones, let's pass our phones around to see what our search histories are on Instagram, on Bookface, all of that. Caught tick and all that, right? So, anyway, so we're passing around, and we're kind of laughing, and I was like, you guys are going to get real bored when you get to mine, because the algorithm that I've created over time of looking at stuff is goofy boy golf humor. It's stupid golf humor. It's golfers getting hurt, guys flipping carts that are drunk. It's dudes missing shots and falling. It's boring, right? And then there will be some yachts. I love yachts. I don't have one, but I am fascinated with I don't know how to explain it to you. I love looking at yachts. And so we started talking about this, and I was like, wow, like, you know, they know my pattern of what I look for. So when I open it up, I don't even have to search anymore. It's just right there for me. They've made it so easy for me to look at stupid golf memes. To send to my friends group. Come on, you with me today? Yeah. And if you open up my wife's, it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be recipes and dresses and heels and how to raise your husband. And no, are you with me today? You're like, what's he doing? I'm making sense. If you'll just trust me. Just trust me. Don't get off the bus just yet. Stay on, okay? Now, here's what we need to know. There are holy algorithms and there are satanic algorithms. Like the patterns of our life, if we build godly patterns, stay with me, it's like an algorithm that we're building in our soul, where there's a rhythm that when the test comes, I don't go to social media, I don't go to the world, I go to the Word. And because I've been in the Word, I know where to go in the Word to keep feeding that healthy algorithm. But listen, it's true in both directions. And some of you are like, what? Yeah, it's true in both directions. If you feed your soul with junk and nonsense and all the other stuff that is out there, are you with me? And so the angels know what to feed you in that algorithm, and the demons know what to feed you in that algorithm. It's true in both directions. We need to build a holy algorithm, right? Because here's the thing. You don't rise to the occasion. You fall to your level of preparation. We default to the level of our preparation. If I have any staff in here, say it out loud, because this is something, one of our series, isms that we have on staff here. Preparation, presentation. That in our culture, on our staff, that is what we say. If anyone is going to be on a stage, on a camera, and they're presenting to the people, you better have prepared, right? So I didn't just wake up this morning and was like, better put something together here. This sounds good. No, this was in the oven all week, baby. It's been roasting for you. This wasn't microwaved. I'm dumping 30 hours of study on you in a short amount of time. Because I love you, because I want to be prepared when I stand before you and I stand before God to give account of what I'm telling you. But, and your life is the same way. We are living presentations. We are imago. Come on. We are living presentations. What we do in private will show in public. If we're good in private, we'll be good in public. But when the doors close and the friends leave and it's just you and the wife and all hell is constantly breaking loose, it will bleed out eventually. And you, by the way, you're making it awkward for all your other friends because we know what's going on, right? Are you with me today? Presentation, preparation before presentation, because we fall to the level of our preparation. And so you have to be in God's Word daily. Amen? What I'm giving you in the short amount of time I have is not enough to get you through. I wish I was that good, but I'm not that good. You need to be meeting and hanging out with Jesus. Come on. Every day of the week. Amen? All right. What lines have I drawn before I'm pressured to cross them? What lines have I drawn before I'm pressured to cross them? Like, what's your Alamo? What hills are you willing to die on? Because, right, you're going to be tempted to cross some lines. This happened with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm going to make a statement. I made in the first service. I'm going to do it now. Who knows if I'll do it in the third. I may forget. But you got lucky that I remembered I said this. Is when you read the life of Daniel, if you're with me, say amen. Give me a thumbs up, heart emoji online. Give me something online. When you read the story of Daniel, the tests get bigger. And I'm going to let you know, the longer he walks with you and you walk with him, the tests seem to get bigger. Why? Because your faith is growing. Giants don't need to face a small test. So if you're in here today and you're in a big test, I bet you you're a giant. God's like, you can handle this. I trust you, right? I mean, God's not going to put something great in the hands of something who is insignificant. Come on, who's this for today? So if you've got you're an entrepreneur, if you've got a job, if you've got a position you're stretching for, if you're trying to do something good in life, you know, advance your family financially, whatever that is, and God has given it to you, if it's big, it's because look what God is trusting me with. I'm a giant. God, and I don't say that braggadocious. I'm just saying, like, you've been here over 30 years, but some of you are new. You have seen some of the fires I've went through. So when I stand in front of this awesome stuff that God has given me, you didn't see me when the church was 300, when I was faithful, when I was standing on this stage. And now that's 3,000. Oh, it's really, really cool. Come on. Well, all I'm telling you is, like, if you're facing kind of a big trial right now, like if there's something that's causing you to cry, to lose sleep, that, you know, your faith is being tested, first of all, welcome to the faith. But also, the bigger the test, the bigger the giant you are, the better the warrior you are, because God's like, oh, you can face this. I'm with you, but you're going to face it, and we're going to slay it together. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise. Yeah, that's a good spot. I got to go quick. Where is the culture trying to rename me? This is what Daniel went through. Daniel literally experiences the culture gave him a new identity. And so he went from a food test to a fire test. The food test, 21 days. Like, anybody can eat carrots for 21 days. I don't want to do that. I like meat too much. But Daniel's like, give me 21 days. We'll be better than the guys that eat the king's food. And so when we do our fast every year, a lot of you do the Daniel fast, right? So that's where that comes from. You can read about it. So it went from a food test to a fire test. And in that fire, right, they're hanging out. They've been tossed in the fire. King Nebuchadnezzar, they're in the fire, by the way, because he's a megalomaniac, and he created this massive statue. If you're with me, shout amen. And anyway, so he says, everyone has to worship that statue of me when you hear the worship music. And these guys are like, pre-obedience, this is where I draw the line. We'll serve the king, we'll do what you tell us to do, but we're not doing that. That is a line we will not cross. Predetermined obedience. So they don't bow down. Heats it up 7 times hotter. They toss them in. The guys that have bound them and tossed them in, it would have been a pit with a grate over it. It was so hot, the flames came out and consumed them. And so this thing is raging fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks down in that pit and he's like, and he's like, wait a second. Wait a second, didn't we put 3 in there? I'm like, yeah, well, what? And he's like, there's a 4th guy in the fire. And look what he says. He goes, and he looks like the Son of God. That's really cool. And if the book of Daniel ended right there, like, that'd be a really, really cool story. But when he's 80 years old, he's fake. By the way, Daniel outlives 3 godless kings. He outlives them all. And as the bro is in his 80s, he's at Sun City, he's trying to retire. I don't know. And in his 80s, he's still facing a test. And he's still predetermined because he's like, well, I passed the food test, I passed the fire test. What are a bunch of lions? Toss me in. And he's hanging around with lions. And if it's in your Bible, there's an angel there that comes and is like, shuts the mouths of the lions. And the lion's like, yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah. So, yeah, listen, we have to stand in the fire, though, right? Say amen. We got to stand in the fire. God's people don't escape the fire. They meet God in it. Our prayer is... Our prayer so often is, God, get me out of this test. Get me out of this fire. Our prayer should be, if this is of you and ordained by you, then come into the fire with me. Come into the fire. And those are not easy prayers to pray, are they? No? Agreed. Yeah. So when the fire comes, do I fight it or invite God into it? When the fire comes, do I fight it or do I invite God into it? Do I fear people's opinions more than God's presence? Am I more concerned about what people think of me in Babylon, my image out, come on, my image out there, right? I'm putting the best me out there. I'm telling you, one day we're going to do post your worst picture day one day. We're just going to see if anybody will actually do it. Or do I value God's presence? Listen, am I changing my faith to fit the little king or trusting the king of kings, like the little king of this world? Am I trusting, changing my faith to fit Babylon? Or while I'm in Babylon, come on, are you with me today, church? Because here's the thing about Daniel. He prophesies about the Messiah. Daniel sees in a vision the first advent of Christ, the first Old Testament prophet to see the advent of Christ. And in Daniel, the last chapter, when you read it, It's literally like you're reading the book of Revelation. And there are parts of it that are word for word. And Daniel's faith, he got to see in his lifetime God do some incredible, incredible, amazing things. And Matthew quotes Daniel in Matthew chapter, Jesus does in Matthew chapter 24, 15. Daniel quotes Jesus. Now, I want to take you back real quick. Remember, he was in the fire with him. I don't know this. I'm having some liberty with this. Just have some fun with me. I wonder if when Jesus was in the fire with him, he was like, hey, one day I'll quote you. One day, you'll be dead and gone, but I'm going to quote you one day, right? I don't know. So often, listen, often Babylon's walls may look unshakable, but every earthly kingdom is temporary. Come on, look at your pastor. The fire that you're walking through, the fire that Pastor Holly and I are walking through, it is temporary. It is not eternal. Do not, you have nothing to fear. Do not be afraid. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. You have been bought with the blood of Jesus. You are covered in the blood of Jesus. You are protected in Jesus. Listen, you can't control what happens in Babylon. We can't control what happens in America. But we can control our resolve. Right? What our culture is going through, I can't control it. I can control my resolve in it. What will I be and how will I be determined to control that? And last one, anyone can survive Babylon, but only the faithful can transform it. Amen. Would you stand to your feet today?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Crossroads, visit crcbelton.com.